I see some of our brethren out there and sisters. I'm standing in the back, and I'm watching their mouth move with those words. It's telling me this person is locked in to this song. Forgot about their problems for the day and tuned in to the service. What's happening right there? You know, why do we do the way we just scream? I'm just wondering. Okay. This exercise is a practice. It's practice. Getting good at it, boys. Real good. Do we have tonight's PowerPoint? Okay. Pretty basic. I mean, for now, teach us how to live our daily lives in the Word of God. Oh, no, hey, no, listen. There's nothing about our service, but I found this knife. Does this belong to anybody that wants to admit it? NRA knife? Okay, come and see me afterwards if it looks familiar to you, and we'll hand it over. It's up here in the pulpit. All right, now, we've been learning, it's our seventh lesson, Faith for Now, how to live our life every day, trying to help us just live our life. Listen, man, how you live your life every day affects the worship of in the house. Yep. I'm telling you. Thoughts, your daily thoughts, trusting, unity, compassion for each other, diligence in what you do, compassion for each other. And tonight we're talking about integrity. Integrity, it's all over the Bible, found 16 times in the Bible, the word itself, but the principles in there many, many, many times. You know what's another word for integrity? What's another word for integrity? Someone tell me. Putna? Character, that's a word, sure. What? Speak up.
Honesty.
Honesty, yes. Those are traits of one that has integrity, but there's a word used synonymously almost in the Bible with integrity, and it's called upright, walking upright. We'll see that. Now, one of our church members sent me this. It always thrills me when I get the correspondence. Someone is paying attention to the lesson. And as long as someone is paying attention, we'll keep going. We'll keep charging. But they sent me this. The secret of having it all is knowing you already do. See? And pretty good. And they sent me this verse along with it. According to his divine power that is given us unto all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Contentment. Our lesson last week on contentment. Now tonight, we get a little family school. We get a little teaching, a little preaching, a little illustration. Something for everybody. If you pay attention, you go home with something better than what you came tonight. Integrity. It's our memory verse. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. We'll learn about that a little bit tonight. But the perverseness, or can I say, one that doesn't have integrity, of transgressors shall destroy them. So you have a choice. You guide them or destroy them. So I say this tonight. As you live your life, and if you're not a person of integrity, if you're not a person of honesty, what you really do is self-destruction. And not only for yourself, but those around you. And not only for those around you, but those at your work, and those at your family, and those in your church. That's a powerful verse. Mom and Dad, if you ever want to teach your kids something in life, teach them that. Teach them integrity. It would guide you or destroy you if you don't have it. This is one of our lessons. I send out daily lessons. I'm a broken record, but I'm going to keep doing it. One of our lessons, I don't know what day, integrity, found 16 times in the Bible, Old Testament. Define purity, incorruptness, uprightness, honesty. Integrity involves a whole moral character, but especially uprightness in dealing with others. All right. One of our Monday's prayer, I end each lesson with prayer. If you do nothing on your phone or on your iPad or your computer, look up the prayer. Make it your prayer for the day. At least be with the church in that area, right? Ask God to help you maintain your integrity today. You will be tested today for sure. You'll be tested about lying, about stealing, about not saying something maybe you should say. Ask the Lord to help you to do right when the testing comes. It will come, for sure. Now, every day, maybe three or four of the lessons, I give a hymn for your heart today. After the prayer, there's a hymn, just to take to your car or take to your home, sing at the table. Let's say we're about ready to eat our tomato salad, and Dad says, hey, the hymn today is I Am Resolved No Longer to Linger. Turn by the world. Let's sing one verse. Shall we do it before we eat? Sure. I am resolved. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have alert my sight. and I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. And Jesus, your greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Then we eat our supper. And what we just did, we did in my home growing up, and I'd get the verse mixed up way back then. I'm still doing it, Amy. Okay. Now listen, in your lesson, we send out a coloring sheet for our children, or whoever else wants to color. Getting the verse, driving the verse, driving the verse all week. Or, you want a little more challenging, we have this a word scramble. You want to scramble the words and fit them down at the bottom of the page, and you have the verse. Driving the verse, driving the verse, driving the verse. Or, for a little more challenge, you have this pretty complicated maze. I want you to try it and tell me about it. The problem with a maze like that is, if there's one mistake, you're sunk. Oh, well, do our best, do our best. Real integrity is doing the right thing, knowing that nobody's going to know, knowing no one's going to know whether you did it or not. That's integrity, doing the right thing always. And it has an impact on our church, on our service. We'll learn it today. Okay, you finish this right now. All together, everybody say it together. I'll read the sentence and you finish it. Doing what is right, do what is right, not what is always easy, pleasant. Well, there's four letters, but you didn't know that. You didn't know that. It's okay. Listen, don't be shy. Shout out. It's okay, class. Okay, wisdom is knowing the right path to take. Integrity is what? Taking it. This is Roe. Integrity is not something you show others. It is how you behave behind their back. Good. Yasha. Yeah. They're smiling in your face, right? Oh, preacher. Integrity is choosing your thoughts. Integrity is choosing your thoughts and actions based on moral values rather than personal feeling. Gain. Gain. That's God's way. Mom and Dad, live so that when your children think of fairness, they think of who is caring and who has integrity, they think about you. So when someone calls the house and Dad says to Mom, tell them I'm not home. And Junior and little sister are watching Mom and Dad do that. What are we doing? It's okay to lie. That's not integrity. That's perverseness, according to the Word of God. Now, I know we've all done that. But it's church, and we can all get right and put it behind us. Let's put it behind us. You lose your strength, Christian, the moment you depart from your integrity. Okay, here. Education does not determine identity. Don't make the mistake. Fame does not determine virtue. Occupation is not in itself great or lowly. Competence does not determine integrity. Who you are is decided by what you think and how you act when only God sees you. That's integrity. When you're in that hotel room and you've got that TV sitting there and you're going to turn something on that you know is against what God would have you do, well, that's the test. I'm going to show you that right here with these cans in a little bit. It is always right to do right. I've said this to many people in this house many times. Therefore, we never, ever make our decision to do so, to do right, based on what we believe may or may not happen. I'm going to do right. Well, they'll get mad. I'm going to do right. I'm going to wear the right thing. Well, the girls won't want to hang with me. I'm going to honor my parents in this thing. Well, I won't have any more friends. It's always integrity. It's always right to do right. Oh, if we can just teach ourselves, teach our children that. Through his administration, Abraham Lincoln, president under fire, especially during the scary years of the Civil War, and though he knew he would make errors in office, he resolved never to compromise his integrity. So strong was this resolve that he once said, I desire so to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside of me, called integrity. No one can take that from you. What qualities an employee's, and employees irritate bosses most? Burke Marketing Research asked executives of 100 of the nation's 1,000 largest companies. At the top of the list was dishonesty. Myrick Silbert, who temporary employee firm commissioned the study, says if a company believes that his employee lacks integrity, all the positive qualities ranging from skill and experience to productivity and intelligence become meaningless. What's that say? Say what you mean and mean what you say. Integrity. What's that say? Oh, talk all day long. All day. Let's see your actions. Theodore Roosevelt, before he became president, he had a cattle. He was a rancher. And the people that worked for him, they called him cowpunchers. Why would you call them? I wouldn't be called a cowpuncher, but that's what they call them. Anybody knows about that sort of thing? Well, they were on a neighbor's property, a guy named Lang, and they came upon this steer. Well, the gentleman's agreement, well, all the neighbors was, wherever that steer is found, that steer belongs to that person. So Roosevelt's cowpuncher gets out his brand, Roosevelt's brand, and begins branding that steer. And Roosevelt said, what are you doing? I'm branding the steer. That's not our steer. That's Lang's steer. That's okay. And he sent him home. He says, look, go home. Go back to the ranch. Get your stuff and get out. Because listen to me. Anybody that steals for me will steal from me. Now, let me just give a little counsel on the side, if I may. You that are looking for significant others, maybe you want to get married someday. Danny probably get married someday, right? Can I counsel you, Danny? Just for a minute. Okay, Danny, if you find a girl and all she does is talk bad about her mom and dad, believe me, the day will come and she'll talk bad about you. Ladies, if you get a man, all he does is talk bad about pastors, all he does is complain about his parents and what he can and cannot do, can I tell you something? Run. Because you're outside your minds if you think that guy that talks bad about the people he loves is not going to put you in the same boat. Run. That's all free. Free counseling today. Okay. Interesting. Everybody knows about the Sistine Chapel? 4 years painting. I mean, the guy is painting on his back for 4 years. Right? He's painting. Okay. He's just his little fine brush. And he paints a stroke of a hair. Well, it's 5 miles from the ground. 5 miles from the ground. And so he's painting, and he gets down off the scaffolding, and a man says, hey, why bother with all these fine details? Who's going to see it? And Michelangelo said, I am. Who's going to see me do that? God's going to see you. Do we believe it? Listen here. Look in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. It says, the integrity of the upright. Now, I say it's always right to do right. We never base our decision to do right what we think may happen. Integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Don't turn there, but Proverbs 19:1 says, better is the poor that walketh in integrity. I'll take the guy downtown Mission than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Mark. God is saying, I'll take the man, the jobless, homeless man, that has integrity over anybody that can shoot a hoop or throw a football or hit a baseball and is perverse in his life. And for the life of me, I'm going to hit on it again. When I'm gone, you won't hear it anymore. But for the life of me, I can't figure why a man would wear another man's jersey with a name on it that a man is perverse in his ways. I don't get it. I do not get it. I'm not going to promote those guys. God said, go downtown with Charlie. He'll introduce you to a homeless man that has integrity. Get his name and put that on your shirt. They'll say, who is that? Oh, that's a homeless guy downtown. He's got integrity. He's honest. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. See, we put so much value on riches. God doesn't. He said, give me a man of integrity. The just man walketh in his integrity. That's walking uprightly. His children are blessed after him. Now, I'm just going to give you a few things that are going to help describe the benefits of integrity. Look in Proverbs 11:3 again. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. We're talking about integrity. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Integrity will direct your path. You that are going to school, integrity will guide you. The man who walks honestly and earnestly is a man who's after God's own heart. Integrity will guide you, as the Bible says. Two, integrity will deliver you from danger and distress. You ever do something that's wrong and you wonder if someone's going to hear you? Wouldn't it be something if we collected everybody's phone and looked at every word of the last week on your phone? Well, if you're a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, you'd say, here's my phone, preacher. Go ahead and look. It'll deliver you from danger. Look in Proverbs 11:4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Proverbs 11:8, don't turn there. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. The righteous, the upright, the man of integrity is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Psalm 112 says, unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. The man that's upright, walking upright. Three, integrity will make you a source of blessings to others. Look in the same chapter, Proverbs 11, talking about integrity, talking about righteousness, talking about walking uprightly and all. 11:11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. I say, by the blessing of the upright, the family is exalted. By the blessing of the upright, the church is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. That's the one not upright. Every man is better. Every man is better for the integrity of the other. For the integrity of the guy next to you, you're better. That neighbor that has integrity, you're better for it. That church member has integrity, you're better for it. God says it'll promote your prosperity. Look in Proverbs 11 again, 28, verse 28. As a general rule, the righteous man, the upright man, the man of integrity is going to prosper on this earth. Listen, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. The upright shall be recompensed. The man of integrity shall be recompensed in the earth, much more than the wicked and the sinner. Guide and direct you and deliver you from danger, a source of blessings to others, promote your own prosperity, and you'll be pleasing to God. Oh, is there a Christian that doesn't want to bask in the sunshine of God's approval? I'm going to read 26:1 of Psalm. The Psalm of David, judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Okay, now we're getting to a very important point. How can I be a man of integrity? You just have to trust the Lord that it's the right thing. When you see this word integrity, it's very close to the word in location in the Bible, very close to the word trust the Lord. Like this verse. Listen, I've walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also, there's a colon there. I've trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Proverbs 11, 20. Take a look. We're in Proverbs 11. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Do you want to be a delight to the Lord? So, one way of delighting God is to be a man, a woman of integrity, to walk uprightly, not being shifty, not walking crooked, not walking bent over, straightforward, upright. A man, a woman of integrity, it'll preserve you. Proverbs 13, 5 says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Let integrity, Psalm 25 says, let integrity and uprightness, they're brothers, they go together. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. So, it's easy to cheat on a test at home. Homeschoolers are professional cheaters. Maybe we've learned to cheat. How do you know that? I know that. They learn ways around things, maybe not being exactly upright, just to pass that test. They'll guide and direct you, deliver you in danger and distress, a source of blessings, promote your own prosperity. It's pleasing to God. It'll keep, it'll preserve you. Now, before I go to my main text, I mean, Proverbs is the main text, but I really want to get to this Psalm 84, this jewel. You know what it says in Psalm 84? Listen. You're not going to get this through a cursory reading of Psalm 84. What it says is this. If you and 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 you, if we will all walk upright, watch out for the Lord's service. Thing is, if we don't, if you don't walk upright, and you don't walk upright, and you're not walking upright, and there's something cumulative about that. And I think God holds back. Listen, Psalm 84 says, he'll withholdeth no good thing from those that walk uprightly. He withhold no good blessing from those that walk uprightly. Do we have good services? Yeah, they're okay. That's what I say. They're okay. How's church? That's okay. Because it could be so much better. But we count on you. The person that has integrity, he helps all those around us. Can we expect God to bless when we've cheated the day before in our taxes? Can we ask God to bless when we told a lie to our parents, when we left early from work, when we stole that thing from work? Can we come to church? See, we have a God that's like a, you know, this happy-go-lucky, do whatever you want, God. That's not true. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Turn myself off just for a minute. Sorry. Dream world. We serve a God like, oh, he's okay. I'm okay. I can do this. Well, as long as I'm worshiping the Lord, I can go out and have this immoral relationship. Well, I bring him to church, but you're not married. How can a couple who's living together come and sit in the front pew of the church and sing victory in Jesus? Well, they're hearing the preaching, they're singing the word. It is unacceptable to God. Don't even doubt it. We're living in some dream world. We think he's like the governor. We think he's like the president. And we can live one way one day and one other day the next day. No. Now, okay, this is fantastic. Watch now. They don't make pop cans like they used to. I'll tell you that right now. These are some lightweight cans. What I need is a volunteer. I'd like a young volunteer, first of all. How much weight could these cans hold? And looking at these cans, you know what? We can learn something about integrity. So what I would do first is I'd check the integrity of this can. And I have no dents, no crinkles, because that wouldn't be right. They're all very, very good shape cans. Okay, so let's put this on here. Do I have a young person? I'll tell you what, if we make it that far, Brother Sarek, do we have a young person that could come up here? Is there a volunteer, I don't know, maybe under 10 years old, want to stand on this, see if it holds you up? Oh, come on now. 11-year-old, 12-year-old, come on. No. Yeah, send them up. Bring them up here, Brother Sarek. It's okay, man. I'm not going to hurt you, man. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. And brother, listen, Isaiah, you can help me get the people on this thing, okay? Because you got to be very careful about this. Now, listen. Okay, coming up here, Holmes. Stand behind here. Yeah, me and the brother here, we're going to pick you up by your arm. I'm just going to set you right on there, but you be gently, gentle. Okay, let go. Pretty good. You feeling all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pick him up off there. Okay. Now, you know what? Do you know? Hey, this is deep, man. You know when you can sit down, Holmes. I need someone a little bigger than him. Someone, come on up. Come on now. Isaiah, go pick somebody. Would you please? Just go pick. Who?
Sammy.
Okay, Sammy, come on. So listen. You know what life's about? Oh, what you're getting tonight is just solid gold. Life is about pressure. Hey, life's about pressure. We're pressured every day. Pressure. There's pressure, brother, that'll check your integrity every single day. And that's what we're doing here. We're checking the integrity of these cans to hold the weight of Sam. Okay, Sam, here, just use our shoulders. Here, you can use our shoulders and step on it very gently. Gently. Okay, let go. Don't rock. Pretty good. Okay, lift yourself off. Okay, I need someone, get someone a little bigger, will you, bro? Pardon me? He's 110? How do you know? You could tell. Okay. Okay, listen, 110 pounds, pretty good. Okay. Okay, Zay, you think you can stand on there? Okay, but here's what we need, though. We need someone to help us to, because he's got to stand on our straight. If he stands down here, it's going to break. Crush him. Listen, can you go home tonight? Life's about pressure. Pressure at the job, pressure at the school, pressing down. What will it take for you to forfeit your integrity? How much weight? How many dollars? How many friends? How much applause will get you to surrender your integrity? Okay, you ready? Listen, let me get on this side because this shoulder is not a good one. Okay. Okay, ready? Okay, we'll lift him right up. Go, babe. Easy. Okay, get yourself off there real easy. Okay, Brother Sarek, want to give it a try, baby? Come on. Come on, big man. Yeah, Rob, come on, babe. Come on. Come on, man, you're wasting my time here. Run down the aisle. Like someone just said, amen. You can do it. Okay, let's get the man up on here, right? Okay, all right. It's a lot of... Okay, now you're over 170, right?
Just about a little bit.
Okay. Okay, can you get on there yourself? Real easy. Just use us to balance you. Okay, here, help. Use your guy's shoulder to balance on. No. Always a clown. He's always a funny guy. Okay, here, just get on there straight. Straight. Come on, sir. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Oh! Too much pressure! Too much. Look at it. Don't tell my wife that we ruined 15 cents worth of cans in a church house. Get rid of those cans. Nice going, sir. Have another piece of meat. Okay. That's what happens, right? You wind up a mess, man. Ain't no value to these now. Sorry, Linda. Integrity. It's fantastic. All right. All right. Pressure, man. Pressure. Listen, what's that song? It says, life's not a... It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room, a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. It's not Disneyland. It's not. Religion and church and walking with God is not Darien Lake. Buy a ticket and go and have fun. No, no. Look in Psalm 84:11. We're going to read it and enjoy this jewel, man. I mean, just a jewel. We'll end our service here a little bit. Run if you want to, run if you will. See, that's a song about integrity. How's that go, Pastor? Turn that furnace up high, tie him up, throw him in. Hebrew boys are going to fry. A little while later, I looked inside. Say, pull up a chair and warm your hands, because I've been here. I have come here to stay. Yeah. Oh, you can talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and learn all about integrity. It says so in the Bible. You can talk about Daniel. Talk about Moses, Abraham. Anybody, Paul, spent his whole life to the Corinthian church telling them, look at that. Don't listen to these guys. I'm a man of integrity. Timothy and Titus, Jesus, our Savior, being a man of integrity. Hey, all you do is jump off this bridge here and have whatever you want. I had to jump off the thing and you have to give you the food, give you the land, give you the... No. No. Because the Bible says this. That's what's important. And that's why we call this faith for now, right now, right now. 84 Psalm. How amiable are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Oh, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Oh, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Are you wore out? You need some light. You need some protection. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace. You need a little grace tonight? He'll give grace. The God of grace will give grace. The God of love will give love. The God of hope will give hope. The God of peace will give peace. I love it. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Wow. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace and glory, gee. No good thing. Watch. What I'm giving you right now is the secret of integrity. And why we need to have it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. How do I do it? 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. We must trust Brother Nolan, when you go to school, you must trust God to do right, or you won't do right. You must trust God, Sister Be About, to do right, or you won't do it. You must believe what God says. I trust you, Lord. Your words of integrity, I trust them. I trust you. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, it says in 1 Peter, and his ears are open to their prayers. The eyes of God are open to the righteous. The eyes of God are open to the upright. The eyes of God are open to the man of integrity. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, we read in the Proverbs there 11, that man doing evil, that man doing wicked is void of integrity. He's void of righteousness. And the Bible says God's face is against you. So you're going to come into the church house, you're living in fornication, sit in the front pew. Oh, pray, bless me, Lord. He cannot bless it. No, it's impossible. Yeah, but there are no yeah buts. We reason in our yeah but mind so we can live the way we want to live. The Bible is the Bible. We must trust what it says. Then you become a man of integrity. Now, and David, he had a thing for the meeting place. We can't talk about all that right now because I'd like to go to our last point of a man who walked distinctly perpendicular. Oh, now there's a DD for you. Distinctly DP. Distinctly straight up. And that'd be Job. Listen, the Bible, the actual word integrity is found 16 times, 4 times in the book of Job. Now, all these wonderful verses about the church house we still don't have time for tonight. I know this. If you're hungry, if you're thirsting for God, live an upright life the best you can, or you're not going to taste him. You're going to taste up some manufactured thing. And that's what the church is filled with today. I'll tell you something. People leave our church. I mean, people stay here. I think the people that are sincere and really want to meet with God. Not that there's others that don't. I mean, I understand there's reasons for leaving and all that, but there's a million churches out there. You just come do what you want. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't serve a God that's like that. That's not the Bible. You take Job. It's a day, you see, when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine. The messenger came to Job and said, you've lost all your cattle. You've lost your camels. You've lost your sheep. You've lost your servants. They're consumed. You've lost your sons and your daughters. They were eating, and this thing came by, and they're all dead. Job walked perpendicular, upright. How can a man rent his mantle, shave his head, fall down upon the ground and worshiped? I mean, let someone cut me off on 490, watch me worship. Watch me get a flat tire on the way to an important meeting, Johnny, and watch me worship. He said, if you can put this in your brain, naked came I out of my mother's womb. You want some good counsel? You want some good meditation for your daily living? Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Oh, really? Well, how about Job chapter 2? And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Mm-mm. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, listen, and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Perfect man, upright man, perpendicular man. fears God, he escheweth evil, and he holds fast his integrity, Job 2:3. Although thou movest against me to destroy him without a cause, will you hold fast your integrity when that thing pops in front of your face? The music you listen to, is it music that you'd call in any way, shape, or form Christian? I've got to fight it myself. Satan answered and said, skin for skin, yea, all men have a gift for his life. But put forth thy hand against him, watch what happens. Go ahead, but don't kill him. So he went from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. A sore boil, bubbling boils all over his body. And he took him a potsherd to scrape the pus off himself. And he sat down in the ashes, just a dripping, oozing, gory, ugly, painful mess. Now, Job's wife, she gets compared to Satan many times, the devil, but you almost have to cut her some slack. I mean, the woman lost everything. Everything, including her children. I want you to think about that. All her children were killed. Everything she owned was gone. And now her only hope on this earth for sustenance is lying in an ash heap full of boils and sores. And she didn't do him right. And she says, she looks at him in total disdain, I think, disgust and fear maybe. Dost thou still retain thy integrity? When that girl wants to be with you, do you still retain your integrity? When that thing's easy to cheat or steal, do you still retain? That's what his wife said. Dost thou still retain? Curse God and die. He said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? You want counsel tonight? Let's trust God tonight. What? ? It's a one-word sentence. What? ? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Oh, he's been so good with our houses and barns and cattle and sheep and all. And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? See, Job had to work it in his mind. I came in with nothing. I'm leaving nothing. I praise God for the good, but how about the bad? Does God just give me good and not the bad? Does he allow the good and the bad? That's what he's saying. Can I give the young wives some good counsel? You listen, your husband, especially your young families, your husband's going to make mistakes, man, lots of them, lots of mistakes, stupid mistakes, financial mistakes, business mistakes. And the last thing he needs on this planet is for a wife to point that out. Oh, nice going. I'll tell you a story, quick story. It's only 8 o'clock. There's a man, he needed a building for his backyard. And he toyed with it. Well, looking around, well, all of a sudden this thing popped up on the computer. This $11,000 building for $7,500. Well, he told his wife, this is a building for us. This is gonna work. And I bought the building and laid down $1,000 on the building. Well, months went by and they're wanting to deliver the building, collecting money. But the Lord had talked to the man and said, you know what? You don't need that building. What you need is less stuff. That's what you need. So the guy, the company, he said, well, you know you're not going to get your $1,000 back. Well, this man had to go tell his wife about the G note. And you know what she said to him? This is a woman who counts every penny. This is a woman who will drive 25 miles to save 7 cents on a gallon of gasoline. This is a woman who would not crush 15 cents worth of pumpkins. You know what she said? That's okay. That's okay. Oh, that's a wife right there. That's a wife. You know what Job's wife said, fellas? She said, see what your religion's got you, Aaron? Right? I know you want to be married. You have a wife? No. It's because of your religion. That's what Job's wife said. That's what he said. Oh, you want that house? You could have that house if it wasn't for your religion. That's what she's saying. See, Job, what your religion got you? A pile of ashes covered with pustule sores. That's your religion, Job. That's just curse God and die. Get out of there. No, that is not a man of integrity. Job said, God gave it to me. God took it away. That's all. That's all. Now, two places in the Bible we're going to turn to. Job 27. Two places and we'll go home tonight. And you can continue the study. I'm going to send this PowerPoint out tomorrow morning as our lesson. Job 27:5, how to live my life. Listen, boast not thyself. That's not the right thing. Hold on now. Excuse me. Okay. Pardon me? Yeah. I'm in Job. I'm going to go to Job 27. Sorry for messing you up on that. Job 27. Okay. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, verse 1, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul. Job got everything back, as you well know, and then some. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Job 31, and we'll read these few verses and stand for prayer. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Job 31:1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Young man, that's what you need to do. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath tasted a hasted to deceit, let me be weighed. Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Check me out, Lord. Weigh me, Lord. And know mine integrity. I'll not give it up. Job's wife said, just give it up. No, I'm not going to give it up. And I pray you don't either. I'd say this. We have so far to go in our worship. And as you walk in integrity more and more, watch what happens to this house. I don't mean numbers, maybe numbers. I mean we're at the level of worship. We've got to blow through here. And we'll write like David wrote, oh, it's too much. It's almost too much. I can hardly preach. Let's stand for prayer. Integrity. Faith for now. We need it. It's critical. Critical for you, yes, as an individual, yes. But critical for your family, Dad. Critical for your church. Critical for your work. Give me an honest man, I'll teach him something, that's for sure.